how true. You might not know that this evening, but He is really all we need tonight. He's the Lord. And I was thinking, as I know what we're looking at tonight, go ahead and take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 15 this evening. Proverbs chapter 15. We live in a very weird, unusual, always changing day. There's nothing new under the sun, so God says. Sin has always been a problem. Man has always had trouble, always will on this side. Let you find your place and then look up here at me this evening. I was thinking, a lot of people don't like Bible teaching. They like preaching sometimes, but they don't like teaching. So I have a hard time distinguishing the two. Listen, we've got too much hot air. Too many clouds without no rain. As that song made the statement, He's all I need, and that's true. What scares me is we don't realize our need. And this world is constantly bombarding. And again, I watch, and I'm not, you know, everybody says, well, you just think you're better. And that's the furthest. You don't know me. I know me a little more than you know me. We're living in a day where people can come sit in church, this church or any other Bible preaching, teaching church, and while they're sitting here, they're in sin. Leave this place and walk right into sin, and it doesn't bother them. Something wrong with that. And tonight, as we continue our look here in the book of Proverbs, why are we doing this? You know, why are we taking our time to walk through these how-tos of how to live our lives? I think it's for this generation right here and these little ones walking around here that they can hear what God really wants out of their life. Not what daddy says, not what mama says, but what God says. And that should matter. And I know people don't like it when I say this, but people have become so stupid. It's not about what I gauge them by, but according to the Word of God. The things they say they believe, the way they walk, the things they talk about, is pure stupidity. And I'm so worried, and I know, and I say that, that's my flesh side talking. We're right where God knew we'd be. But I'm worried about our young folk and how we've become so acceptive to this modern theology and our modern ways. Right, right, wrong, wrong. And I didn't make the rules, God did.
That's right.
And I say that, you know, I can't help but think of our country right now. Our hope this evening is not coming out of the White House or Washington. If the churches don't get back into anchoring in on what's right and what's wrong, we're going to flush right down the drain with our country. We got a speaker now that has bought into this idea of neutrality, of there is no thing as a male or a female. That's stupidity. God made a man and God made a female. That's the way God made it. I don't care what laws they put on the books. I don't care what they teach our children in the schoolhouse. God still says He made a man, He made a woman. And that's the reason we teach what we're teaching as we, you know, are walking through this book of Proverbs. And this is the wisdom of God that He gives us as His children to help us to live a life that would please Him. Tonight, there's really nothing new that we've not seen before. A lot of it tonight is just some recapping of things that we've already seen before. But we're just going to go down through these verses tonight and just, again, as we hear these things, this isn't just, well, yeah, that's good, or yeah, maybe. No, when God says these things, that's God saying them, not the preacher. It's not up for debate. God says this is the way and walk ye in it. And so I want to encourage you tonight, all of us, not just us older folks and not just our younger folks. Let's get serious about what we think and what we say and how we say things. And so let's just walk down. Verse number one, I have the most hard time with probably of any verse that we're going to look at tonight because I'm not real good at this. Verse one says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. I have a hard time with a soft answer sometimes. Now, I know that's what God says. God says a soft answer will turn away wrath. The Bible still says to speak truth. How? In love. I get in the flesh a lot of times, and I don't like when people curse my God, and I don't like when people go against what the Bible says, and it bothers me. And I don't like when people talk about preachers, and they talk about churches. I don't like it. And a lot of times I don't have a very soft answer for them. But God says if I would learn to have a soft, I can still speak truth. I don't have to back down. I don't have to cower down. I don't have to change what I think, or I can have a soft answer though. And in that way, there's a right way and a wrong way to say things. And that's what God's trying to show us tonight. And again, I'm not good at it. I bowl pretty quick. And it usually makes the conversations heat up quicker than they ought to heat up. Maybe you don't have that problem, but I do. And God tells us here this truth that a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. You know, again, you can throw some fuel on the fire. You know, I'm terrible. I really am. I worked with a guy. He hated me. I really do. I really believe he did. He hated me. He was a Church of Christ guy, and he believed that you could lose your salvation, and I'd get him so mad. I said, "Watch out, buddy, you might lose something. If you believe what you say, you believe." But I'd do things just to make him mad. That wasn't right. And God's trying to teach us there's a right way to say things. And I couldn't help but think of what Roloff said, and it's one of the sayings that I hold to and what I've heard men say. Roloff made this statement, I think it fits this verse. He said, "I can't control how people respond, but I can control how I react." You can't control anybody else, but you can control you. And God's telling us here there should be some control in ourselves, that a soft answer will turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Verse 2, the tongue. We're going to see the tongue several times tonight. That's a problem. The Bible tells us there in James, our tongue, hellfire, wicked. Ah, preacher, not me. God says, you, this tongue. I've heard people hurt people, Christian people, open that mouth and that tongue like a whip. He says here, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. We need to see, as we are dealing with people, as we're living our lives, the bigger picture of why we're here. We've got to learn to pick our battles of what really is important. We got to be able to use our knowledge. And that's what we're getting here tonight in the book of Proverbs, is knowledge. And we need to take that knowledge and let that knowledge be used aright, that it brings people closer to Christ instead of giving them a bad taste. And listen, you can't say, you know, you can't get good water and bad water out of the same well. Bible tells us that. You can't say, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and then turn around and say, "Oh, how I love the world." Can't do that. You can't put on your post a Bible verse and then the next post show you holding alcohol. Hello? God's trying to teach us. Take the knowledge that God gives us and use it aright. And only the Lord can help us control this old tongue. Verse number 3. Caution. Danger. Scare you to death right here. You want to see it? The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Well, nobody saw me. God did. Nobody knows. God knows. I don't care if you're at the church house, at the house alone, at the workplace, wherever you are, the Bible says the eyes of God are upon you. They're watching you. You can't hide from it. Hold your place there. Let's look at a few other places. Look in Proverbs chapter 5. If we truly believe that God was watching us, we wouldn't do a lot of things that we do. We'd be ashamed that He was there with us watching it. Proverbs 5. For the ways of man, verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all his goings. Every thought, everything that we see, everything that we do, everything we listen to, God is taking note of. Look over in the book of Job. Job chapter 34. Spend a little extra time here on this verse because I want you to understand we're talking about how we respond, how we react, what we do, and knowing, again, we have laws, but you usually don't pay attention to the law until the cop's behind you. But God's watching you. Job chapter 34 this evening. Job chapter 34, look with me in verse number 21. Job 34, 21 says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. God is watching, taking note. Look in Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 17 says, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. All their ways, good or evil. God's taking note of those things. For my eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 24. So when you think you're hiding it from mama or daddy or from your husband or your wife or from the boss at the workplace or the preacher or whoever, God is taking note. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? So again, this season, back to Proverbs chapter 15, God is telling us here that the eyes of the Lord, verse 3, are upon good and evil continually there. So as we go through our days, as we go through our lives, remember that everywhere we go and everything that we do, that there's a God in heaven taking note. Oh, preacher, you think God knows? He knows every hair upon our heads. He knows when a sparrow falls. We got a big God, I promise you. Verse number 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Again, it's speaking of the destruction and how the tongue can tear down. And again, that old saying of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt you is a lie, because words do hurt. Words do cut deep. Words will break fellowship. And that word breach there that we see there in verse number 4, it means to fracture, to cause by violence. That's what God's saying about this tongue, as how perverse it can be. Verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction. A fool also says there's no God. And a fool tonight would sit here and say, I don't care what God says. And I've had people sitting in churches tell me that same thing. I don't care what the Bible says. Then you're a fool. I didn't call you a fool. God did. Because a fool will not take that instruction. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. We ought to want somebody to tell us what we're doing something wrong. We ought to want God to guide us in such a way. Verse number 6, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of wicked is trouble. And we live in that type of day when people think money's the answer to everything. Money might keep you satisfied on this side of eternity, but it won't help you on the other side. You're not going to take a thing with you, and we won't take time to read it, but you go over Psalms chapter 49, it deals with that fact that you're not going to buy your way into heaven. You can work with your hands, you can work with your pocketbook, but none of that will give you any favor with God. There's one and only one thing that gives you favor with God, and that's the blood of His Son. And that's what we're talking about. There's no hope in the riches. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. You want to be wise? I do. Do we disperse? What? You know, I talk about stuff. I talk, you know, get around Tony, I'll talk about deer hunting. I we all have our hobbies that we like to talk about. But our main thoughts, our main actions, we ought to want to talk about the Lord. We ought to be able to put forth some wisdom that God has instilled. And again, it's not to puff us up. Look what I know. No, that's not it. But as God shows us things, I want these young people to mark some people. I'm glad that God put some people in my life that I can mark that helps me and still helps me. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so. Again, the contrast between the wise and the not so wise. Verse number 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Again, it's not about what we give. Well, I give my tithe, but do you do it in a cheerful way? Well, I serve God, but do you do it because you love God? Again, it says there that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. It makes him sick. Look what I give to you, God. God says, I don't need that. It makes me sick. We ought to look at this thing that is a privilege, it's an honor to be in service with the Lord. But he says there in verse 8, it says, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. That's what God delights in. The prayer of the upright. To talk to Him in such a way that we show Him that He is God and we need Him. As Brother Russell sung that song, He's All I Need. Verse number 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord. Again, that's the word abomination means to literally make him sick. But he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. You want to make God happy? Follow in after righteousness. What's righteousness? It's not the preacher. It's not some religion. There's only one that's righteous. That's the Lord. So he tells us that the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Verse number 10. correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. As a child of God this evening, I don't like, per se, the chastisement of God, but on the other side, it shows me the love of God, because he was willing to chastise me as a child, because he desires for me to understand and to learn right and wrong and to follow after the right things. But to the one that hates correction and reproof, God says he will die. A man that will not take reproof, a man that will not take the thoughts that he's wrong, God says he's going to die. And he will die in his sin. Verse 11, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? That's a big verse. Look at it again slowly. We saw verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Then look what we just read. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. God sees hell. God sees that destruction. But look what he says. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? He sees all. He knows all. Psalms 139:8. And again, we serve a mighty God. And not only does he see that hell and destruction, but he can see the intent of the man's heart. And again, Jeremiah chapter 17 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then it goes on and says, I, the Lord, search the heart. You don't know your heart. Nobody else knows your heart, but God knows the intent of my heart. Verse 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. That scorner hates truth. Man today hates truth. And then we'll close with verse 13 this evening. This is probably one of those verses that's probably the best medicine that you can take every day. The Bible says in verse 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Is your heart merry tonight? No, preacher, I'm burdened about this. Why don't you give it to the Lord? If you'll have a merry heart, as you go through your day tomorrow, as you go through that workplace, as you go to that schoolhouse, as you go to wherever you are, let God give you a merry heart, knowing that God has supplied, that God has met with you, that God is with you, and it makes you merry. God says that attitude. Paul says, think on these things. We got to get ourselves out of that ditch of this flesh and this ditch of this world and get to the place that we can fix our eyes on things above. Well, preacher, that sounds real good, but it's hard living. But God says a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. That sorrow that comes into our life, if it's not dealt with, will break our spirit. It'll keep us from living for God, serving God. It'll keep us from fellowshipping with God. But God says if you'll have a merry heart, it'll help you. So God, again, is talking to us tonight, trying to let us see this is the right way. These are things that you and I, as His children, that He desires for us to do and not to do. We'll see next week, well, not next week because I won't be here, but the week after, Lord willing, there's a verse there that talks about folly in life. I wonder tonight if we treat life in such a way that it's just a game. That we don't take the seriousness of every day. But friend, this day God has watched me. God has seen me. God has noticed my heart. And I wonder this evening, is He pleased? Tonight I need a merry heart. I want to have that wisdom that I can speak in such a way that will help people see Christ and draw them closer to Christ and not push them away. Well, preacher, nobody cares anymore. God still cares. God still desires. And I want to please Him. So I encourage us as we go through these days to, again, I know this world has gone plumb crazy. Our children are having to deal with things that I would never even dreamed of. They need to be taught. We need to teach them these truths about wisdom and what God says. You do these things and they'll hurt you. You do these things and they'll help you. Tonight, that's the seriousness of our day. Let's stand together this evening. Thank you again for coming tonight.